Avenue and 4th Street in St. Petersburg. Brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. Tito Ortiz coming up momentarily. When Tito's done,
yes,
I'm going to ask you, I'll ask you the question now, so this will give you some time to think about it.
Okay.
I want to know what band you want to see next. I want to know what band you wished you had seen that's impossible to see.
Okay.
You know, whether it's broke up, passed away, et cetera, et cetera, okay. Et cetera. So there are some of your questions.
Like, what qualifies a band? Is it
the band? A singer. All right, is that better? Singer. Well, again.
They all have bands. They all have, like, you know, music guys behind them. But, I mean, like you like kind of like Alabama, like where there's, like, multiple singers contributing, or is it just, like, one front man, like Prince?
How about the truth about the band Alabama? Do you know about the truth about the band Alabama?
No.
And Alabama was really only the three.
Okay.
Okay, now, there was four of them.
Okay.
You know, the three guys up front, and then the guy on drums. Well, after the guy on drums, awful that I don't remember any of their names, was not asked back. And I'm like, what's going on? And I'm sure everybody was saying, what's going on? Well, then it came out, Randy Owen basically said that he was never part of the band.
Really?
It's the three of us, because they're all related, where I think two of them are related.
Okay, right.
And then he was the studio drummer.
Oh.
And that supposedly the record label said it would look better, blah, 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 blah. And so they included him. And then they kind of, you know, when they went their own way or whatever.
Huh.
Okay?
All right.
Then you look at, and I've always said this, when you're in the band, unless you're Joe Perry, and I told you, I was never a Joe Perry guy.
Foreigner guy?
No, I believe he's Aerosmith. When I saw him at the CES, I'm like, this dude's good.
Yeah.
I had zero interest in ever seeing him. The guy is good. But you normally look at a band like Hootie and the Blowfish. Darius Rucker leaves, goes to Nashville, becomes a superstar country act.
Right.
Left his boys from South Carolina and started over.
Sure.
So when I say band, you know, it would have to be, you know, a guitarist that left can't be they broke up.
Okay.
A guitarist that you couldn't even name.
It's like the Chuck E. Cheese, like, band.
That was always pretty good. He could play.
The gorilla?
How about, do you know who was Chuck E. Cheese?
No.
Do you know who wore a Chuck E. Cheese costume?
No.
Michael Pittman.
What?
Yeah, Michael Pittman.
Michael Pittman was Chuck E. Cheese?
Yep.
Wow.
I got to text somebody, so just talk among
that's
yourselves.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't know that. But that's a pretty awesome band. But, I don't know, I mean, I grew up in a different era than you, so, I mean, I think the Beatles were big for you, probably, right? I mean,
No.
No?
Not big for me.
Like, I grew up Aerosmith, with Pearl Jam, and that was, like, a big
Who's Metallica?
Name. Metallica was a big
Who was that? I mean, I know the name.
Right.
Grossman just drove his tractor into a tree. I get it. I understand. My brother went and saw him last night in Vegas.
Okay.
He's seen him a few times.
Sure.
I don't think I would know him if I saw him.
Okay.
And but I had to ask my daughter last night, that isn't that the music that Rivera would come out to from the Yankees? Right. And it was.
Okay.
You know who else comes out to some cool stuff? I've always said one of my favorite all-time entrances, Tito Ortiz. Tito, how are you?
Doing good, Randy. I'm doing a lot better.
Talk to us real quick about, you know, you said in, you know, the post conference and all that, how nervous you were leading up to in the back, and then you spoke to your son on the phone. What was it about it that made it, knowing that this is the last, knowing that it was Chuck Liddell, what was it that made you so nervous?
You know, I think it came down to losing in front of my family, losing in front of my friends, losing in front of all my fans. And I had to stop thinking like that. You know, it was my last fight. I worked so hard for it, over 18 weeks, 3 times a day, 6 days a week. I really just devoted myself 1,000% into it, like I've never had before. And I just, I don't know, I didn't want to lose. I wanted to make sure I won. And I didn't want to just win by decision. I wanted to make sure I made punctuation on this whole fight, this whole thing, and the rivalry back and forth, and the things that Chuck was saying, how he was going to knock me out the first round. I kind of anticipated things. Not a little different. I thought it would be a war. But talking to Jacob and him saying, Dad, make that nervousness, make that that scared your body to happiness. And when I did that, let me tell you, Randy, my kid's 16 years old, and for him to figure that out and to understand that, it just made me feel so good in my heart. And all this was meant to be. All this meant for a reason. It all happened for a reason. From that point out on, there wasn't a miss in my step. I mean, I was just on point. I was ready. And this happened like 4 hours before I even got to the venue. This happened at like 1 o'clock West Coast time. And I didn't have to be at the venue until 5:30. So, I mean, this happened really early. So I got my day going and I was on. I was ready. I mean, my meals were perfect. I mean, I felt great. I went down the arena. Warming up was great. Running around the concourse of the arena, getting my warm up for 15 minutes. I felt great. Coming back, hitting pads for a little bit. I felt great. Doing some wrestling stuff. I felt great. And then all of a sudden, I was with my sparring partner, Moses Moretta. We're just touching each other. I'm just boxing. And I was like, I'm going to knock this guy out on his feet. I feel sharp right now. Jason Perillo's like, Tito, man, you've been sharp all camp. You've gotten better and better and better and better. You just And when the fight started, I'll take it back. Before the fight started, I was in the cage. It was just a feeling of it was my house. It was my cage. It was my mat. My feet felt perfect on the mat. I mean, everything just was just a scent in the air. Everything just felt right. And when you know that happens, it's going to be a good night.
I saw on social media, and I had to chuckle. We've known each other a long time, and I see this stuff on social media. I'm at the ATM machine. I'm pulling some cash out, and Tito just ran by me in the upper concourse warming up. I mean, I remember you running through the MGM Grand warming up before a fight, so it was kind of funny. But I need to ask you, being the friends that we are, you said it was your last fight. You told me that last time as well. And you can never say never, but – you know, how close to never? How close is it to say I will never be back and fight again?
Well, you know, my last fight, I was 1,000%, 100%. Like, I was dead set that I don't ever want to do it again. This time, I'm the same way. I don't want to do it again, but, I mean, there's no one out there to fight for me to fight. There's no one for me to fight. I mean, I've done what I needed to do. I fought a man who said he was gonna smash me, he was going to beat me in a round, and I made him look stupid. I mean, yes, he was a little slower, but I made him look stupid. I'm an old man myself. I'm going to be 44 years old. I've gone through so much of my surgeries. There's not one other athlete in this world, not one athlete in any sport in the world that has the same surgeries I've had and came back to compete against people, period. I mean, my last fight against Chael Sonnen, who ended up going to the semifinals of the Bellator Grand Prix and taking down Fedor. Losing to him, of course, but still taking down Fedor, and I get no credit for the work I do besides the fans that are my true fans. There's always people who could critique my career, critique my fighting style on other people's problems, but look at the great things that I've done. And I'm happy, man. I'm content right now. But I think the next step is getting into promotion and to help out MMA fighters in the future.
You know, before we talk about the promotion, I think it is unfair. Matt and I kind of talked about it after the fight. We've talked about it since. That you're right. Nobody is giving you any credit. Yeah, Chuck did look bad. You know, we all know that. You know, I kind of talked about the Buccaneers. They won a game against the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm saying, yeah, but it's the 49ers. And people are saying, it's an NFL team. I mean, Chuck was in the cage. Chuck came to fight. And I think that's the best you've looked in a long time. Yeah, part of it is because how slow Chuck was looking. But I thought you looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, slipping the punches and firing back. And that was the problem I had before the fight. The last fight I had with him, I wasn't firing back off his punches. I was covering up. I shouldn't have been covering up. I shouldn't have been firing off the punches. And that day of the fight, actually, Rampage texted me. He's like, Tito, the two-punch combination punch from him, you fire back on that second punch. So that was already stuck in my mind, too. The little small things that just added to what I needed to do for the fight in general. It was just, I came out as victor, with my hand being raised. And I beat him at his own game. I didn't take him down and beat him down. I beat him at his own game. And that's what I want to
say. And I want to say this to you. I've already said it on the air, and people know where I stand about, you know, when you dislike somebody, I want you to dislike them after the fight as well, you know, because then that means it's real. But I want to say big ups to you because I know that I know how much the two of you have disliked each other for as long as you have. And I thought that said a lot for both of you. You know, Chuck could have walked away, but, you know, he thanked you as well. And I thought both of you handled the outcome very professionally.
You know, we couldn't have done it without each other, man. it was a great rivalry over our last 15 years. I mean, we've known each other for 21 years. It's just the nail's in the coffin. It's over. It's done. I can go on to other business. He can go on to his other business. And, you know, people got a chance to see Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell 3, and my hand was raised. And, you know, I look at the fights prior, and I made little small mistakes that I corrected. And I've gotten older. He's gotten older, but I've taken care of my body, and it showed in the fight. You know, like I said, he said he was ready to fight. His camp said he was ready to fight. His camp said he was going to knock me out. Everybody, all of his fans said he was going to knock me out. I have no chance. Why am I fighting against someone that I'm going to be 3-0 against? But when I shut everybody up, then all of a sudden people are giving excuses for Chuck. And, you know, he was a big man. He's an adult. The athletic commission cleared him. And people stopped trying to come out for his rescue. He was a big man. He's got to eat his humble pie one bite at a time.
Let me ask you this, you know, because somebody, a couple of people, you know, have reached out to me, and so I need to ask this. When I've had you on, and then I've had Chuck on, both of you have said that you're both involved in the promotion, and you know, how big, where that leads, I don't know. But some people were kind of curious when you went and said that you want Chuck to continue to fight for the promotion. Is that still the case? Does Chuck have a say in it? Is he involved in this upcoming promotion as it moves forward?
I'm not sure if he's in control of anything at all. I'm a part of it. I would have to give an answer of no. I mean, I'm not even a part of it yet. I'm meeting with them on Friday. I don't know if Chuck is meeting with them on Friday, but I'm meeting with them on Friday, and they just like the way I work. They see how hard I work, and they see Oscar when he first began with Golden Boy Promotion. They see a resemblance, and they like it, and they saw a huge success over it. We haven't got the pay-per-view buys back yet, but it was a sold-out house, and they sold every ticket they had, and they were happy. They haven't done that in boxing ever there. We sold more tickets than the Chael Sonnen fight there, and I think the last three Bellators that were there, we sold more tickets. So I think it was a home run for them. They're really excited to be a part of mixed martial arts, and so am I, to, you know, end my career the way I did, and now be a part of a business that I helped start in the beginning. People got to understand, I was in this business and I was a world champ before Dana White was ever in it, before the UFC was bought by the Petitas. I was in this business and I understood it, and I kept learning as the process got through. I mean, I got a master's degree of marketing through working UFC over 16 years and the 4 years with Bellator, so I understand the business. But if I could focus strictly on doing the marketing or on the business in general of Golden Boy MMA, I think I could make a home run. I think I could do exactly what Oscar can do. It just takes hard work and dedication. I dedicate myself to that job 100%, and that's something I can do.
What does the promotion need? What do they need to do to move forward? Is it great up-and-coming fighters that need to, you know, in their next fight just explode where people may not know their name? Do they need to bring in some names that people recognize that are being let go by other organizations? I mean, what do you think would be the number one thing that the Golden Boy's going to need to do to move forward?
Well, I think number one, you got to build the infrastructure. You got to build the ground from ground up. You have to start from the beginning. And that's where this starts. Go out and hire a bunch of names that already have huge names that are at the end of their career. No, it's about building new guys. It's about going to smaller towns and building guys from there and just making smaller business. Start small to end up big. You know, you can't start big to stay big. That's impossible. And a lot of companies have tried that, and they've failed really fast. So I think it's just smart. Start small, you know, smaller cities, and just build your way up. Find talent. Build that talent. You know, really give them great matches where they're able to show their skills, showcase their skills, and to be great athletes. And I think building stars, not worrying about the brand of Golden Boy MMA, but really worrying about each and every individual that we build. And that's important, as boxing has done through many years. How UFC did in the very beginning. I mean, that's how we should have been. That's how I should have kept it like. And not get so black tie style, you know, where it's just strictly a corporation. And once you do that, you kind of lose the love of the sport. And I think it got to that point where people got so confused and watered down of so many fighters. But now it's about building superstars, and that's what I'm going to try to do.
Is it important to Golden Boy MMA to have an event, you know, within the next, you know, by January, by February, and not wait until June, July, August, or even later?
Well, that's over Friday, and we're going to get our balls rolling super fast, and these wheels are going to be turning really, really quick. So I just kind of, I don't want to let too much out too soon, but I guarantee you 2019, we're going to make a big drop.
Very, very cool. Well, we had Kevin Carter on the player show Monday night, and we spent probably 20 minutes, Kevin and I, on the air talking about you, talking about looking forward to seeing you again in April, and you should see Kevin light up when we talk Tito Ortiz.
Yeah, Kevin's my man. I love him, man. He does an awesome thing down in Nashville. I'm excited to go again this year. It's going to be great, great. Maybe we can do an event with Golden Boy that weekend in Nashville. That would be pretty cool, huh?
That would be really cool. Now I'm excited. Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to have to call you after the show.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah, that would be cool. Now you got me all excited. Tito, as always, thank you, sir. And I'm sure you had Thanksgiving, on Sunday?
No, I didn't have a Thanksgiving this year. I missed out on a Thanksgiving. It's fine. My kids did, though. They actually went to my one of my best friend's house with his sons and then enjoyed it. But we all got to say what we're thankful for. My Thanksgiving, actually, I went to Los Angeles, the Laugh Factory, and I fed the homeless for about 4 hours because I didn't have a Thanksgiving. So that was my Thanksgiving, to feed people. And that's what I always wanted to do anyways. I've never done that. I was always on the other side. I was the kid getting the meals. But to be on the other side of being a celebrity, going in and helping out and giving to the homeless was enough Thanksgiving for me. And knocking out Chuck Liddell, that was enough Thanksgiving to me. And all the fans, the support I get from my fans is enough Thanksgiving to me. So my year was happy. I'm very, very content.
Very cool. Before I let you go, new things keep popping in my head. How's fishing weather January 25th or so out there? Is it good?
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, I look out in the water. I'm, of course, looking in the water, and it's about 70 degrees. The wind's blowing out of the west, southwest, about 3 knots. So it's super, super flat. The water's about 68 degrees with bluefin at the Cortez Banks and Tanner Banks, which is about an hour and 90 minutes away, about 2.5 hours away from my house on my boat. So this week I plan on going fishing. And they're getting anywhere from 40 to 190 pound bluefin tuna. So I want to take a whack at it. It would be awesome.
Well, Kevin and I talked about doing another trip. Ryan Bader fights Fedor on the 26th. I'm thinking we come a couple days before Warren Sapp joins us and we all go fishing.
Awesome. You guys come out of my boat. I'll take you guys out fishing with me, man. We'll kill some fish. That'd be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun. Tito, as always, congratulations. I'm looking forward to the future, what's going to go down with Golden Boy MMA, and can't wait to see you. If it's not in April or January, we'll see each other soon.
Awesome, man. Thank you. And, of course, all the listeners, Christmas is coming up, so make sure you go to punishment.com, which is my clothing company, family-owned clothing company. Purchase my walkout shirt or even the after-fight shirt of me digging the grave for Chuck and burying them. And obviously, you get it free. If you purchase anything over $40, you get a free shirt. So just put it in little PS notations, and you get a free shirt, your size, whatever you want. Of course, you can follow me on Instagram, Tito Ortiz, 1999, to see what I'm doing from day to day.
Good stuff. Tito, thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Awesome, man. As always, thank you guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Tito Ortiz, Punishment 99. I've been involved with this program a long, long time. And, you know, like I said, I wasn't looking forward to it just because of my friendship with both.
Right.
But I'm going to continue to disagree with you in the fact that this fight doesn't, and will not hurt the legacy of Tito Ortiz. Period. Yeah.
No, I mean, but do you think that, I mean, look, a lot of things are evolving. CBD oils and SARMs and different things that are banned substances. Do you think that, like, Tito using, like, the splitting the red blood cells for, you know, therapy and for, do you think that gave him a competitive advantage over a four-year-old older Chuck Liddell? I mean, like, will it change the sport in the future going forward? Do you think, you know, regulations will start to be put on how these guys are training or recovering so that it's, like, level, like a NASCAR, where they all use the same restrictor plates and the same, you know, same specs?
so it's a level playing field, because not everybody has access to the things that Tito has, you know, with the success and the money. You know, like, fighter coming up just from the street or have nothing, you know, they don't have that kind of resources, like, that level.
Adonis Creed doesn't have this stuff either. And look, he did pretty well and won the title.
And Creed?
Creed.
I mean, this is, like, real Creed. But
it's real Creed
but,
stuff.
But don't you think that's, I mean, as the world evolves and as things are being banned or not?
You know, well, it's funny that you say that, because I've said it for years, you know, about this performance-enhancing, the fake tape stuff that you tape yourself up with.
The KT tape?
Yeah, KT, you know, whatever. The those stupid necklaces that the baseball players wear that supposedly does mysterious things.
Your boy Brett Favre wearing copper underwear. And.
But I don't think he wore it when he played. I'm pretty sure that came out after the retirement.
Right.
Just saying.
But I mean, I think they're going to have to take a look at those kind of things, don't you think? I mean, because Tito looked phenomenal.
He did.
He looked phenomenal. Best I've probably seen him in 10 years.
Now, again, and I was going to bring it up to him, but, you know, a lot of people said he looked so good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, I'm deleting stuff off, but this is stuff you were saying that went to my recorder.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Did you say Butterbean? How did Butterbean's name get said?
Yeah, Butterbean. Yeah, I mean, the greatest boxer of all time.
No, but a good guy. You know that he whittles knives now.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen him on The Book of Face.
Butter knives?
I don't know. But
Butterbean?
I brought him to Nashville.
Butter knives?
He's been at one of our events.
All right.
Yep. Drove from Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Good dude. Amazing. Good dude. But back to wherever we were.
Yeah.
Some people are saying, well, Chuck looks so bad. Well, it's, you got to be consistent. These are the same people that have said, well, it doesn't matter. You can only beat who you're fighting. You know, if you go out and you beat a football team, you know, the Buccaneers beat the 49ers, who are awful.
Right.
And people are saying, well, it's not their fault. That's who's on the schedule.
Sure.
Well, it's not his fault. Everybody.
But Tito looked phenomenal. I mean, I think Tito's going to change the game. I mean, because he's outspoken about what he uses and how he did it. And if you're in the fight game, if that can prolong your career, and be 43 years old, going to 44 after the surgeries he's had and the injuries he's had, and still look like that, there's got to be science behind it.
Before we hit this break, I want to give you the rundown on next week. Next week on this program, Jessica I, Elias Theodora, his opponent Eric Anders, and Brad Cotone.
Wow.
Not Joey Fatone.
They're not the hot dog guy?
No, that's not until I'll see him in August.
Okay.
In the suite.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
All right. You're going to the Backstreet Boys?
I am.
Hopefully they don't Elton John you and cancel when you get over there.
I'll get my money back. I don't care.
All right.
If the concert happens, I'm in a great seat. If the concert gets postponed or canceled, I get my money back.
Is Elton John a band?
No.
Is a piano guy?
No, knucklehead. The piano guy is Billy Joel.
He's a piano guy, too.
If you could only see one of the two, who would you?
Oh, Billy Joel.
Really?
Well.
I've seen them both.
I got to retract it.
You got to see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden. You know how he gets there?
No.
Right, he lives on the other side. Okay, so okay. Long Island, I don't know, someplace.
He takes a helicopter.
He takes a helicopter. He has a helicopter pad in his backyard, and he takes the helicopter to Madison Square Garden. Do you think it's any big deal going to Madison Square Garden over Emily Arena, over T-Mobile, over any other arena?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't.
You got history there.
I don't. It means nothing to me.
I mean, unless it's like a city, like where they tore it down and it's a different ballpark or a different stadium, then no. But I think, you know.
I've been in Madison Square Garden 4 or 5 times. A couple UFCs. I've been to a couple basketball. It meant nothing to me.
Really?
Now, is it because I'm jaded and I'm around all this stuff all the time?
Probably.
I've been to Fenway and Wrigley and I haven't walked around.
Are you crazy? What?
I haven't.
What?
I haven't.
What?
I've been to Fenway, I don't know, 40 times. I walked around with my wife when we went on. The UFC was up there and we walked around. But I don't think I've walked around right
now. Yeah, I think the venue matters. I think the venue matters for sure.
Would the venue matter so much that you would go to a lesser event because it's at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
See, to me, it wouldn't. I wouldn't do it.
I would.
All right, we'll continue this silliness when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Clean Energy Massage and Wellness is dedicated to providing you with the highest quality of care and proud to be the official massage and wellness facility of the 2018 Playership. A clinical deep tissue massage from Clean Energy Massage and Wellness can provide the relief from pain and stress. We tailor each session to you and your needs to provide you the best care possible. Conveniently located at 4255 Henderson Boulevard in Tampa. Sports massage, deep tissue, acupuncture, medical massage, and much more. Improve your health today. Call 813-769-9280 or go to CleanEnergyWellness.com and go Bucks!
Ride in luxury. Go to Tampa Limo and Car LLC.com today. Going to the prom, the airport, or that special night on the town, call Tampa Limo and Car at 813-415-4576 and ride in luxury. Tampa Limo and Car has a fleet of sedans, SUVs, vans, minibuses, limos, party buses, and the motor coach. Professionally trained and dressed chauffeurs will handle all of your needs. Going to the Bucks game? Go in style. Book online at Tampa Limo and Car LLC.com today. Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment. With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
It's time to get back in the holiday spirit, and we are very excited to once again be involved with the Ryan Neese Foundation and the 10th annual Power of Giving Holiday Party presented by the DiBartolo Family Foundation on December 6th at T. Pepin's Hospitality Center. You will enjoy delicious food, open bar, games, celebrity guests, and great entertainment while helping to empower teens to become leaders and impact giving in their communities. To purchase your tickets or to get more information on the Ryan Neese Foundation, please go to www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Experience the power of giving and get your tickets today at www.ryanneesefoundation.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sergio Garcia, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, there you have it.
I would say I changed my mind. I would actually pay a pay-per-view to watch Sergio Garcia in a Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson style square off, or what do they call it?
But against who?
Donald Trump.
What?
Donald Trump. He's a golfer, the immigration thing, Sergio Garcia. See if he lets him back in.
You're an idiot.
I would see it. Like, they would talk crazy trash.
You're an idiot.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
You know who else is an idiot? Whoever produces this show.
Why?
One, for allowing you on. Okay. And two, our boy Usman fights.
Friday night. How did we not have him on? Like today, last week, the week before?
Yeah.
Who? You're fired again.
Me again? I'm back to intern.
Yeah. You're back to intern co. You're the co-intern.
I'll help the intern.
Friday night against RDA.
Do you like fights being moved from Saturdays to Fridays?
I don't care. No, it's not.
Does it matter?
This is like a one-time special. I don't know why they're doing it on Friday, but they're not going to do it on a regular basis. Bellator's on Friday, but I don't care. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, hut.
Yeah, but it's always traditionally been Saturday nights, right? Like boxing was
There's been an occasional Friday.
HBO was like Friday night fights. I mean, they kind of built boxing up on Friday nights.
They built the city.
What was that group? Don't tell me.
I won't.
Oh, we built this in a rock and roll. Yeah. It's Starship.
Starship.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a band I would go see.
All right. You want to get back to the bands, or you want to get back to RDA taking on Usman? This is an intriguing fight.
Santos, yeah.
This truly is. RDA's been back. Usman's our guy. I'll tune into this. When is it? Friday night?
Friday night. FS1.
Anybody else on the card? Your boy Benavidez.
Yeah, Benavidez on the prelims.
Teddy Roosevelt, Rick Rainey.
Your co-main, your bantamweight is Pedro Munhoz versus Brian Caraway.
Is he related to Anthony in the NHL Hall of, or NFL Hall of Fame? Brian Caraway.
Middleweight, Darren Stewart versus Edmund
Great photo.
You like that photo they got on there?
Yeah, great photo.
And,
could be considered racist.
No. Right. It's not in color.
Okay. All right, so what band do you want to go see?
I would go see for one song, like a one-hit wonder band, or for like the whole catalog.
All right, would you go to a band that only had one song?
Would go to Whitesnake, Here I Go Again, to see it live.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Just that one song, and I'm leaving.
I would.
That's it.
Yeah, I probably would.
I only want to see that. But a whole catalog?
But here's what I would do. I would go see a band that I really want to see if a band like that has a one-hit wonder is second.
Okay.
You know, not the main.
Right, not the headline.
You know, because I don't want to see it.
Right.
And if you only had one song, that would be your last song or your encore. So I can get there at the very end.
Right, so you're treating it like a UFC
fight. Yep.
Just show up for the main card.
I said that Train is coming back. I enjoyed going to see Train. And they're touring, I guess, with the Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay.
I've heard of them. Couldn't tell you anything that they've done.
Sounds familiar.
I wanted the Goo Goo Dolls to be the main event.
Okay.
To be the headliner so that I can go, enjoy Train, and then leave. That way I don't have to stay.
Right.
Here, you're going to keep me till the end because I'm there to see Train.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what happened in Denver. I mean, the co-main event was the main.
Yeah, a lot of people left. And it turned out to be wrong.
Right. I mean, who would have thought that it turned out that way? But Dallas Roney, Mike Perry. They were definitely the main event, even though it was the second fight.
And again, looking back now, that's not true.
Right.
One was a much better.
Had it not been for a one-second elbow at the very end, it would have been true that the best fight was at the second.
Okay. All right, we'll get back to the bands because I want to go to a concert. I'm going to let you not only pick the concert, but pay for it as well.
Perfect.
Okay. That's the best part. On the phone with us right now from the BKFC, the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, Dave Feldman. Dave, how are you? No, he's not on the phone. On phone. Doesn't on phone mean on phone?
Maybe on the phone.
All right, Dave. Dave, we're going to do it telepathically because he's in Philly.
All right.
I want to know the last time he had some awesome Scrapple. You ever had Scrapple?
What is Scrapple?
Oh, my God. Scrapple is probably the best thing.
If I was to guess, I'm probably guessing it's like potato base, hash brown.
First of all, how long have you known me?
5 years, 6 years.
Okay. So what would Scrapple be? It's meat related.
Meatloaf.
No, it's it makes a hot dog look good.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
But it's so much better.
So it's a Philly.
Yeah, I think it's a Philly. I think it's a Northeast.
And where does it come from? Like Poland? Like what's the heritage behind it? Like
I don't know. It comes from the frozen segment portion at Publix.
But is it like an Italian food, which culture cultivated the Scrapple?
I don't know. Just get me some.
I don't even know what it is. I don't even know where to find it.
You can go to the grocery store right up the street.
I walk down to Williams Park and be like, hey, I got some Scrapple. I'm probably going to get arrested.
Well, no, because it's something you grill up. It's awesome. I'm not sure. He may be on now. I'm not sure. Dave, are you there? Guess not.
No, no scribing. All right, but what about the cheese sticks? I mean, everybody goes to Pat Geno's.
Yeah, the tourist traps.
That's tourist traps.
Yeah.
So where's the
And you know what? You know what a very rookie move is? Because I did it with Wes Sims. Very rookie move. Wes Sims and I went. We went to Geno's. We both got a full one and ate it.
Okay.
We walked the 7 steps to where Pat's is. We both got a full one.
Okay.
What you should have done is we should have gotten one, uh-huh, split it, gone to the other, split it, and then gone to some of the other ones around there.
So are you a cheese whiz guy or no cheese whiz?
Oh, it's always win.
Always with it.
Yeah, always with it. Cheese!
I'm just saying.
You know one of the best places I ever went to, though, is when I went to the Soup Nazi.
The real Soup Nazi. In New York City.
Really? Yeah, the soup was killer, too. It was good. No soup for you. But he was there.
Really?
He was dishing out the soup. It was pretty
good. That guy's a legend. No, I mean, there's a lot of legends.
Thanks to David Letterman.
David Letterman?
Yeah, David Letterman's who made.
Oh, did he? Go to Man of
Yeah.
And Seinfeld.
And then Seinfeld. Yeah, kind of got, you know.
Larry David and all the guys.
I saw Larry David. Really? Did I ever tell you my Larry David story?
No.
All right, so that's where we are waiting for Dave Feldman. So my Larry David story, John Robinson, my security at Knockout Radio, and I went to go see a good friend of ours perform at, it's called Ruth Eckert Hall.
Sure.
Robin Zander was there performing. Cheap Trick was there. So we went, and we moved all the way to the very top. You know, just so I could get out of everybody's way. And, you know, so we're sitting up there watching. And there's these two people that are in the front row, dead center, standing up, just acting up, waving their arms. It was Larry David.
Really?
Larry David there jamming out to Robin Zander.
I'm picturing him like the wacky inflatable, like,
pretty much.
Guy.
pretty much exactly true. So, okay, now on the line with us from Bare Knuckle FC, your president, he does everything. And I haven't even told you what he did at the last event that I was at and witnessed, and it was outstanding. Dave Feldman. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. Awesome to be on here with you guys.
Appreciate your time. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
I did. I hope you guys did as well. Nice to get a little downtime.
Well, and I was going to say, the downtime was down. Now it's about time to kick it in because event, believe it or not, right around the corner.
Yeah, we're 8 weeks out from going international, so we're super, super excited about that. And we're looking at doing some really big things in 2019. So everybody here and everybody on the team and all the fighters, we're very excited this year.
You know, I've yet to tell anybody, you know, that didn't watch it on pay-per-view, that was not in the building, you know, in Biloxi, the main event. I really got a kick out of, enjoyed how upset you were. How you stood up and you were yelling at both fighters, let's go, let's fight, you're fighting for the belt. I think that says what this organization, what this whole bare-knuckle fighting needs and what it means to you.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I had a talk with both of them before, and I said the future of this company depends on how you guys do. I said it to all the fighters, but I said the future of this company depends on how you guys go out there and fight tonight. Then I pulled them two together. I said, you guys are going to be the first bare knuckle heavyweight champions, really ever, but since 1889. There's a lot of history riding on this fight, so I need you guys to fall on your faces, go out on your shields. And they both said, yeah, we're doing it. We're doing whatever it takes. And look, I know, I get it. They're fighting bare knuckles, and they fought good, but I don't think that they put their hearts on the line for that fight. And, you know, it upset me because I put my life on the line to make this thing happen, and I thought they were just going to do just a little bit better, and I think they both played it safe. And for the heavyweight championship of the world, you can't really play it safe.
And I think, and I'm sure you've been told this, I think that the fans get it because of what you have said and what you have done. And you know, you don't just say it, you do it. I think the fighters, you know, some of the other fighters that we've had on this program, they respect that you're not just sitting back. You're being involved. You're telling each fighter, this organization and the future of bare knuckle, you know, is in their hands. And I think the fans, the media, and the other fighters respect what you're trying to do and what it means to you and the company.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I mean, what it is, you know, I'm a former professional fighter, so I know what it takes to get in there and you know, essentially put your life on the line. And I know what they're doing. They're getting paid well to do it. And we treat them great. I mean, I think you can talk to almost, you know, probably 68 or 69 of the 70 fighters that competed for us, and I think they're all going to say they love it and we treat them great and they can't wait to come back. You know, you're not going to please everybody, but I think we do our best to make the fighters really feel welcome and appreciated because, look, this is different. I mean, even if it's not even a great fighters fighting, they're fighting with bare knuckles, and they're risking getting scars for the rest of their life on their face to give the fans entertainment. So I appreciate what they're doing, and in turn, we throw out some pretty good bonuses. We pay them pretty well, and we want them to grow with us. I mean, if this thing takes off the way that we have a feeling it's going to take off, we, you know, who knows what can happen for these guys? It could change their lives.
How have you noticed feedback from fighters that are interested before your first event in Wyoming, and then after your second event in Wyoming and or in Mississippi, and then after the third one that was just recently, or now it's been a couple of weeks? You know, how is the response? How are fighters now reaching out now that you've had three events, three successful events?
We're just getting a ton. I mean, I would say, well, so far I'll tell you, in our fighter application, because we just checked yesterday, since the announcement of this, we have 6,700 fighters that filled out fighter applications. Of those, I will tell you, probably 4,000 of them are just guys that, hey, I want to fight. We probably are going to be able to get about 250 of those guys that signed up under contract. And right now we're about 150 people that we have under contract. And, you know, we're not just signing anybody. We're picking the guys that we think will lay it all on the line. So, you know, we're being not extremely picky, but we're being a little picky of who we're letting jump in that square circle, because we do see it as an opportunity to change their life, as well as an opportunity for the fans to see this company, and they have to be the face of the company now, so that we have to make sure they're putting on the best fights possible.
Absolutely, and I think extremely, you know, picky is what you should be. You know, you're looking for athletes, male and female, that are going to come toe the line and put on an entertaining, you know, fight and an entertaining show. People are still talking about the event, you know, your first one out in Wyoming. I've had them both on the show, and I can't even remember the name. No, this was
Rodriguez.
The two former that they fought before, the Mexicutioner.
Oh, yeah, well, that's going to be one of the rematches that we're going to have on this USA versus Mexico, as Joey Beltran was born in Mexico, and Tony Lopez was born in the United States, so that's a USA versus Mexico fight there, and they will do their rematch of what we call the rematch of the fight of the year with bare knuckle this year so far. So they're going to do that rematch down there in Cancun on February 2nd.
And that's what it takes. It takes fights like that people, especially on a sport, and I don't want to say new sport, because we all know it's probably the oldest sport. It's just the newest to be sanctioned again. You know, people are talking about that fight. People want to see that fight, and that's what we want. We want fighters that are going to step up and just put on a great, great fight. I know you're not going to announce anything, but kind of, you know, what is the future? How many events are you looking at doing? How global do you think that this can go?
We have 9 dates slated for this year so far. Could do one or two more. We're looking at going to Mexico just once this year. Then we're going to go to at least one other country, hopefully two, if everything works out. I can let you know. I'll let you know.
Sure.
We're trying to get to Australia. Australia is a little tough, as it was in America, but I think we cracked through there a little bit. So we'd love to give back a homecoming there. So we're trying to get a fight there in May or June in Australia, and it looks like it's going to happen. And then we're going to we opened up 2 other states, which I don't want to mention that yet, but I will let you know as soon as we're able to. So we opened up two new states. So we will be sanctioned in 4 states by the end of 2018, and probably 6 to 7 by the end of 2019. So we're looking at, I mean, we have a very aggressive approach here. We did what we had to do for the first 3 events. Very exciting. We lost some money, but we gained so much notoriety, so much traction, and we have a great team of investors. We have a great team of employees with us, and the fighters are just fantastic. So we really think we're gonna make a lot more noise this year. And we're probably going to have a huge announcement coming out that's probably going to shake everybody up a little bit here in the next 2 weeks if everything goes as planned.
Awesome. Well, I cannot wait. I was going to ask you about other states, but you already took care of that. I want to thank you for including Knockout Radio, bringing us out to broadcast, and hopefully some bigger and better things in the future as well. Before I let you go, because you're in my city, the city I was born in, Philadelphia, I was trying to describe to Matt, and I can't, about Scrapple, other than I love it. How would you describe Scrapple?
I'll be honest with you, man. I'm not a huge Scrapple fan, but it's like an iconic food here. It's almost it's not quite the cheesesteak. It's not quite as iconic as the cheesesteak, but I mean, everybody here loves Scrapple. So It's a big breakfast food up here, but I'm not a huge fan of it, but I am a big fan of the cheesesteak, as I actually did, you know, something outside of fighting. I actually put together the first ever Philadelphia Cheesesteak Festival here about 4 years ago in Philadelphia. So
right, well, we need to do another one of those, and I'll come up for it.
There you go. Now, yeah, so, you know, it's great being here in the fighting city from Philadelphia, coming from a fighting family, being a former fighter, and being able to launch this, like you said, brand-new sport. Although it's been around, it came back around in a new format, a new style. And, you know, we're excited to do some really great things this year, and I think a lot of people are excited about the potential growth of this company this year.
Awesome. Good stuff. Dave, as always, thank you very much. Have a nice holiday. Hopefully we can get you back on real, real soon.
You as well. Thanks for having me.
Dave Feldman, everybody, from Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. And he's doing it right. He really, truly is. And I sat there. I was sitting cage side. It was so cool. And to watch the president, the guy that has – this guy's laying it all on the line, his reputation, sure, money, you know, time, effort. And he got up there, and he's screaming at both fighters.
And they call it a squared circle.
Well, that's because there is a circle inside a square.
Okay.
So it is a squared circle.
Sure.
It truly is.
And going international, do you think this is a format that's going to be successful for them? Do you think other countries will embrace it more so than America or less so? I mean, is that Australia's tough to crack into? You know, but do you think there's going to be other countries?
But he did it. But if he's going to do it,
right, I mean, sure.
You know, so yeah, you can say it's tough, but, you know, for two other states, I'm excited.
Sure.
You know, I can't wait. I'm going to try to call in a little D-low and say, hey, what are the states I want to do?
Yeah, right. So you plan around a food festival?
Yeah, well, exactly. Right? Well, you know, I'm not going to lie. When I go to these events, I look for other stuff.
Sure.
You know, Tito's saying possibly doing an event the Saturday before, or the Saturday before would be better because then they can come to the event on Tuesday in Nashville. You know,
that'd
so.
Incredible.
Well, and that's the whole Mike Perry story is that I brought Mike out. It was a Tuesday night. He fought on Saturday, and he thought I was setting him up.
Sure.
And he came out to kick my butt.
That's what he did.
And that's a true story.
Yeah.
But instead, he got me an extra lobster. So it worked out pretty well.
Right. Did he put it in his pocket?
That's Wes. Oh. Wes Sims did that. Right?
Wes Sims put a lobster in his pocket?
He did put a lobster in his pocket.
That's
he wasn't just happy to see me. He had a lobster for me. I'm like, Wes, I'm not eating a lobster out of your pocket. So he ate it.
So I think on that fight card in Cancun, Shannon Cannon. Fighting down there, right?
We need to get him on.
Yes.
You know, we met him in Denver.
I was a little intimidated by him. I'm not gonna lie.
Why?
Because he's like, not everybody can wear a mohawk. Let me see it. It made me take my hat off.
Well, and you can't either.
I mean, I can't now.
No, you can't.
I thought I could. But
you can't.
He's the mohawk authority. But he gave me a passing grade. He's like, yeah, man, looks good on you. Got it.
And then he watched you almost get thrown out of the hotel.
For chasing down Luis Pena, the violent Bob Ross.
You should have had him paint a photo.
Huh?
You should have had Ross paint a photo.
I only got a photo. I've been standing outside in the snow while you guys were inside.
It didn't snow until Sunday, which kind of stunk.
That's true.
I would have liked to have seen the snow.
I saw Pena. He was at the Golden Boy.
He was.
In the corner.
Yep. With Cormier.
Yeah. So it was good. I mean, that's why it was a different promotion, but it still felt very UFC-ish.
All right. Anderson Silva, it was just announced, is going to fight, I don't even know what, number 277, whatever.
Okay.
And supposedly, if he wins, and I'm not sure he can beat Israel, if he wins, he'll get a title shot. Give me your thoughts. Now, again, I don't think anybody thinks he can win this fight.
Well, why? Well, why does he get a title shot automatically? Because he used to be the dominant name?
Yeah.
Because he can still sell tickets?
Yeah. I don't know if he can sell tickets. I don't know if he can sell tickets. I don't. It doesn't excite me to see. I'm excited to see Friday night.
Yeah.
Rafael.
Yeah.
And Usman. Usman needs to go to the WWE, and then he can come out with the Usos. And then it can be Usman and Usos, and it can all be a three-man. Well, they already have their wife. The one wife is a WWE superstar as well.
Okay. So what do they call that?
I don't know.
Why not? I don't know. What do you call three people in a ring?
Shut up.
You're the one that brought it up. Right?
I'm going to reach out to Dave Feldman. I'm going to sign you up for a bare knuckle fight.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I just need to
You're going to fight Papa John.
I will knock that guy out. Seriously.
How about the Cheeto dude? Mr. Cheeto.
Chester?
Chester.
I got no chance. Yeah. My face would be orange when he's touching me up.
he would. You know my Cheeto story? My famous Cheeto story?
No.
With George?
I do not.
You like to call him Jorge?
Yeah, Jorge. Yeah. From Cincinnati.
So I'm doing a show, and I'm doing it from my hotel room.
Okay.
And I couldn't find any other place to do it, so George comes to the room, and I'm chowing down on an entire bag of Cheetos. Uh-huh. He was so mad at me.
Why?
Because that's poison.
Yeah. I mean, like, they had the best commercials, though. The ones where he's up in, like, the little mattress loft, and, like, that was pretty clever. Whoever wrote those ads, I like it.
So, yeah, George was not George Michel, in case anybody doesn't know who I'm talking about. Was not happy with me. And one of my proudest moments was when I trained in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro,
right,
in my George Michel gi, with my three stripes. I miss BJJ. I miss doing it.
My time hop said last year today I was on the mat with Hoist Gracie.
Too bad you couldn't have been with somebody that was, you know, legendary status.
Oh, he was. I mean, he got a chance to meet the naked pizza man.
Like
sure,
I said.
I'm sure him right now in his time hop, he's posting about me. Like, oh, last year at this time, I was hanging out with the pizza man.
I'm pretty sure the comment would be similar. But it would say, who is this donkey that I have on my timeline?
Well, I'll tell you, because I had my hair braided, and he kept coming over looking at me like I was somebody. But like my.
But we all know you're not.
My gi and my belt showed that I was not anybody.
Right.
So he was trying to figure out if I was wearing a fake belt, because he didn't know, like, if I was really untrained. Or if I was just a fan, or if I was a...
Speaking of Train, the guy who started the Train, you know, the Gracie Train, back in the day.
All right. Who's that?
The Gracies.
Right. Yeah, obviously. Like, do you think the sport changed, though? Like, back then it was... No, but back then, like, the whole concept, Art Navy created this concept to put all the disciplines against each other to find one superior style.
Right.
But now, all these guys are so versed in everything. Wrestling, takedown, defense.
I think what the difference is, back in the day, an athlete was fantastic at one discipline.
Right.
Back in my discipline versus your discipline. Now it's everybody is decent.
Right. In all disciplines.
In all disciplines.
They may excel in one over the other.
I don't know. I kind of liked it before. I kind of liked the tournament. I kind of liked that you had to fight more than one time.
I mean, in a theory world, in hypothetical, would Chuck Liddell be a champion in today's MMA with his style?
Well, again, that's unfair to say because Chuck Liddell wasn't a champion in the early stages either.
Right.
So I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Chuck Liddell, with what he did then, today, yes.
It still works. Like Matt Hughes' style still works today.
Well, again, you know, Matt Hughes is kind of like John Jones, I think. You know, everybody says John Jones has no ground game. We don't know. We've never seen him there. Matt Hughes, I think, could have, if Matt Hughes today was what he was back then, you know, when he in the championship run, whatever,
sure.
I think he could take down and do the same thing today to any.
Is it because of the wrestling
foundation?
I mean, is that such a huge advantage for these guys? Like these
Ask
like
Khabib.
Ryan Bader.
Ask Khabib.
Yeah, Khabib. Okay.
You know, so yeah.
Bader coming out, Van Anderson.
Randy Couture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Those guys are the collegiate top tier wrestling, you know, Olympic background coming in. Like,
yes.
Is it still true today? Like the guys.
I think so.
Yeah, Khabib's obviously.
Khabib's. We're living that. You know, Connor, Khabib took him down. GSP.
Sure.
GSP, 90% of his game was laying on the ground. You know, whether it's wrestling or jiu-jitsu or just boredom, you know. I don't know about fatigue. I'm just saying boredom. You know, it was pretty boring.
Right.
You know, but again, it's not about, you know, we were just talking to Dave Feldman about exciting. Those two guys that fought for the title,
right.
I don't think they were worried about putting on a great performance.
Right. Because now it's so technical and so strategic. Like, hey, go in, get him taken down and just lay on him and win the thing and get away without his. Much damage as possible.
Big Country said that on The Ultimate Fighter. Okay. I don't care what Dana says. It's not about putting on entertaining fights. It's about winning and moving on.
Right. And if you're going to win without damage and keep fighting and keep making money, that's the sport.
That is definitely what it's about. So,
yeah, I mean, I get it. Because back in those days, I think the thing that made the sport excel was the guys just went in and just started scrapping, you know, like animals.
Good stuff today. I do want to thank all of our guests. Steve Savanu, Dave Manley, Tito Ortiz, Dave Feldman, Next week, Jessica I, Elias Theodoro, Brad Catone, and Eric Anders. So good stuff next week as well. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
At Make Your Pizza Man 1.
Want to thank 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. See everybody next week.
Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.